Welcome to a brand new edition of Yawns. I'm Omar Moore. Watford this week. A draw in the FA Cup and a draw in the Championship. Watford continuing their unbeaten January and ending it with a flourish. A clean sheet, if you call that a flourish. Well, I do on this brand new edition of Greetings, fellow Watford supporters. Thank you very much indeed for joining me here on this brand new edition of Yawns, a bumper edition of this podcast episode, the Yawns Watford FC podcast. Omar here. Thank you so very much indeed for joining me. Yes, yes, yes. It's been a busy January. Watford, I think, played, what, 5 matches in January, maybe 6. And look, they were unbeaten all the matches they played this month as we end the month of January. Watford ended the month of January with a 0-0 draw at Sheffield Wednesday, which I'll talk about in a few minutes' time. But I do want to go back to the game on Sunday afternoon, that one being in the FA Cup fourth round. Watford had not had an FA Cup fourth round tie at the Vic for at least 10 years, and they made the most of it in this game against Southampton, the vaunted Southampton, who at the time were in second place in the division, went on this incredible run, which they're still on, by the way, of not having lost a match since September of 2023. The end of September, in fact, was the last time they were defeated. That was against Middlesbrough. They have not lost since then. And that stretch, that incredible run, has meant that they, at least at the time of this game, were second in the Championship. Yeah, and they did not have the best of starts in the Championship either. They got beat, I think, 4 in a row before they went on this long, long streak that they're currently on. So Southampton, who we have trouble beating at the Vic, came into Vicarage Road for the second time this season. Remember, just last month, we relied on a late strike from Reece Healy, no longer at Watford, of course, in the 96th minute to get a share of the points at the Vic against this team. We have so much difficulty beating the Saints at the Vic, and we were looking to do finally something that we hadn't done in a long time, which is win at Vicarage Road against the Saints. And for a long time in this match, it looked like we were on our way to doing it. Matthias Martin scoring from a free kick. In fact, it is in fact the first time in 477 days that Watford has scored from a direct free kick. Now, there was a free kick from, I think it was Imran Luza last season against Blackpool, but that was not a direct free kick as far as I remember. But anyway, the bottom line is that the ball that Matthias Martin struck was sweet and true, straight past the goalkeeper, who was flat-footed for Southampton, and right past him into the bottom right-hand corner. I think he should have saved that. But the bottom line is Watford will not care about that, nor will we as Watford supporters, because Watford took the fifth-minute lead through Martins. Martins, who's got 6 goals this season, looked as effervescent as he ever has this season. I think this is one of his best games. He played very, very well in the game, did Martins. And I thought he set the tone for Watford because they continued to press and continued to, I think, dominate Southampton for much of that first half. Southampton had glimpses, showed you why they love to hold on to the ball and how they like to play the waiting game that will lull you into a false sense of security and lull you to sleep with the passing game. And then they will go on the attack, take their time and be patient and then pounce. That's what Southampton do and do best. And they did have one or two chances, but Watford were defensively equal to each of them for the most part. And I thought that Matty Pollock getting his first start in a while in a Watford shirt, I think he may have started in the third round game against Cheltenham, he used to play for on loan, I think it was. But Matty Pollock looked very solid in the game against Southampton, very good. I thought he was an outstanding player, a standout in the game defensively, really looked composed, mastered his position very well. I thought he brought great confidence and assuredness to his position and fit in next to Wesley Hutt really well in central defense. Really liked his game. He was very smooth on the ball, wasn't panicked, wasn't nervous. There's a lot of confidence from Matty Pollock. looked like someone who wanted to stay at Vicarage Road rather than someone who was reportedly putting in for a transfer move. And we would find out later on in the week, of course, after that game, that Matty Pollock made, you know, definitely wants to stay at Vicarage Road. I mean, he's made that very clear in statements on Watford's social media that he certainly wants to be a part of things at Vicarage Road with this Watford men's first team. Bottom line is, Watford, I thought, did well. They kept Southampton off the score sheet and kept a clean sheet for the first half of the game, which they had not done in quite some time in a lot of these games, except for the QPR game, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, I decried Watford scoring and then conceding a goal within 10 or 15 minutes thereafter. But that didn't happen in this game. Watford kept their nerve, their discipline defensively, their shape defensively, and managed to keep Southampton off the score sheet in the first half. Jamal Lewis, I thought, was the only Watford player who did not play well, particularly in that game. And to be fair, this was his first game back in 3 weeks. He had been injured, had a muscle tissue injury or something of that nature. Or forget exactly what the injury was. But Jamal Lewis was out for 3 or 4 games, so give him a pass on that. He did not look very sharp in the game against Southampton. Second half, Watford had some chances, should have put them away. Watford, and again, this is a recurring theme throughout the season, Watford are not finishing off chances very well in front of goal. That clinical finish that was needed to put Southampton away would have made all the difference if Watford had done that and made the score 2-0. They could have doubled their lead at that point at 2-0. I think you would have seen a very different game. But as it was, Watford held on, and they were in the 89th minute when Emmanuel Dennis, who'd been brought on the pitch for in place of a number of players, other players got subbed off like Asprilla and Martins, to the best of my memory. And Dennis came on among some of the others, and you can see that Dennis was off the pace. He could not get to the ball. When he did have the ball, a Southampton defender raced up to him and took the ball off of him, and he was gassed. He was absolutely gassed. And then when Southampton made their big changes, 4 of them, which was a very big moment in this game for me, Southampton substitutes and Watford substitutes, both of those moments were the biggest moments of the game because Southampton grew in confidence with their top subs. Their players who normally play these championship games came on, and they looked a cut above. They really did. Southampton looked a cut above, and they threatened Watford in the last 20 minutes. There were a couple of moments where there were some late saves made by Dan Backman, who I thought was very good in this game in the second half. And lo and behold, when Dennis came on, he did not look very sharp, and we knew that that was what was going to happen. But what you can never do when you're defending your position in front of your own goal is to turn your back on an oncoming attacker. You can't do that. You can't turn your back on an onrushing attacker. Dennis turned his back and moved his momentum, carried him off his defending position, and that gave Armstrong for the Saints all the time in the world and all the space in the world to drill a ball right past Daniel Backman into the bottom corner of the net. And that really was a heartbreaker for Watford, because Watford were literally 6.5 minutes away. Injury time had not been called yet. They were about 6.5 minutes away from knocking out Southampton and handing Southampton their first defeat since September. But unfortunately for Watford, that moment where Dennis turned his back on the oncoming attacker and Moo was out of position, and that space allowed for Armstrong to make the shot, to drill the shot home. No chance for Daniel Backman. This was not Daniel Backman's fault. It was a defensive mistake. You should never turn your back on a ball in your box. Never turn your back on that. Never turn your back on the ball with an oncoming attacker with the ball. That just is a cardinal sin. And for some reason, Emmanuel Dennis, I don't know if it was because he was tired, I don't know if he just switched off, I don't know what it was. He hadn't played football, by the way, since November. So that's a factor too, probably. But whatever it is, you just don't. It's one of the first rules of football. You never turn your back on the play when the attacker is coming at you with the ball. That's just not on. And so once Dennis was taken out of the equation, it was very easy for Armstrong to just lash the ball home and score Southampton's equaliser, which of course sent the fans, all of whom were Southampton fans, in the Vicarage Road end in raptures. And it really hurt the spirit of Watford. And Watford did try to get themselves going again. But it was clear that there was going to be a settle for a draw once Porteous came in to try to shore things up at the back. Watford did get a draw out of it. But that means they have to play another game against these lot that they never seem to be able to beat at home. But at least when they go to St. Mary's, they might have a better chance of trying to get the game won, because they are better at St. Mary's than they are at the Vic against Southampton. The last time they went to St. Mary's, they ended up getting 3 points in their ill-fated Premier League season. Cucho Hernandez scored both goals that day. It was on a Sunday. This game that they will play in the replay will be next Tuesday. That's next Tuesday at St. Mary's. We will see how that goes. But Watford, I think, missed a golden opportunity to advance to the fifth round. And Liverpool will be waiting for whomever wins this game next Tuesday. Liverpool, who are in absolute top gear at the moment, top of the Premier League with Jurgen Klopp leaving at the end of the season. They are in top gear. They're also on for they're on a quadruple this season, Liverpool. They are absolutely having the time of their lives right now in the Premier League. They're doing well in the Europa League. They're in a Carabao Cup final that will get played in February. And they are also still locked in, of course, obviously in the FA Cup. And as I say, the fifth round will be played at Anfield, no matter who gets through, whether it's us or whether it's the Saints. We will, either one of our teams will have to travel, whether it's our team or the Saints, will have to travel up to Anfield to take on Liverpool. The Saints would have to travel further than we would. We would love to be playing Liverpool, even though, of course, I think few Watford fans would have any realistic hope of advancing to the sixth round. But if Watford were to beat Southampton, they would have an opportunity against a very difficult Liverpool side, who I'm sure will be very busy in all phases of football by the time the fifth round comes. But the bottom line is that Watford, I think, blew an opportunity to go through here. And I think it's going to be difficult for Watford in this next game. But you never say never in these games. Watford's unbeaten run away from home has been something that they can hang their hats on. But this Saints side is very, very difficult to play. And their methodology is very precise about what they're doing. They're very intentional about what they do and how they do it. And they've got some excellent players, as we know. And don't forget, this lot just came down from the Premier League less than a year ago. So they are very much a Premier League side still, who are marauding around in the Championship and doing it to incredibly good effect. I think after this game, I would say that Val messed up the substitutions. I think Val got out-coached the final 20 minutes of the game by Russell Martin. Russell Martin, by the way, is going to probably end up being coach of the year. I think he will be the manager of the year in the EFL Championship. There's no question he's had an outstanding run with Southampton here. And I think he'll be coach of the year. But the bottom line is that he out-coached Val in the last 20 minutes. He brought on the right kinds of subs. I don't think that Val reacted to that very well. Yes, you want to shut up shop and you want to hold what you have at 1-0. And we are able to defend out most of that second half. But bringing on Emmanuel Dennis in that moment was a big risk. I know it's always risk versus reward. And some fans wanted to see Dennis. We've even heard some fans saying, why doesn't Dennis start? And that's just really unfathomable to me. You can't be asking Emmanuel Dennis to start these games when he's not really played a game. Not played a game since November. He's not played since November. He's had 10 minutes in the game against Sheffield Wednesday. Well, I'll get to that after the break. And he had 15 to 20 minutes in the game against Southampton in the FA Cup. And I don't think you bring in Emmanuel Dennis in a game that's a 1-0 game with 10, 15 minutes to go. If Watford were leading by 2 or 3 goals, I would chance bringing on Dennis in that moment, because you know you can account for anything like that where Dennis makes a mistake or something else goes on. And what you want to do is keep the energy players that you had on. I thought that Watford lost a little bit of energy with Emmanuel Dennis on the pitch against the Saints. I thought that taking off both Martins and Asprey, I thought that was a big mistake, because I thought a lot more of Watford's energy had vanished from this game, evaporated from the game. I think you take one of those two off, but not both. I do think that, yes, Watford tired in the game. I thought they did very well in the game. A lot of energy from the start. They came out the way you want them to, the way I've always wanted Watford to, from the very start, not from the start of the second half, but from the start of the match. But I really thought that Val made a mistake bringing on Dennis, and the defending was good but not solid enough. Although Matty Pollock again was very good, as I said. But Emmanuel Dennis, I thought bringing him on in a 1-0 game with about 15 to 20 minutes to go was a huge risk, and it backfired. Now, of course, if Emmanuel Dennis scored, I'd be telling you the opposite. But that was a huge, huge risk. And, you know, if Watford had lost this game and Val didn't bring Dennis on, many of us, and perhaps myself included, would be telling you, well, why didn't he bring Emmanuel Dennis on? Well, it's easy, right? Hindsight is 20/20. But I think it's very clear that Val made a mistake here. And sometimes managers make mistakes. Sometimes the substitution patterns aren't appropriate for the game. And I really do think this, and I like Val. I think Val's made an immeasurable difference at this club. I just think that you have to read the game. Listen to me telling this to a seasoned manager, right? You have to read the game a little bit better than that in that moment. It's a 1-0 match against a very difficult Southampton side who already put on four subs who were just absolutely brilliant. And you're trying at home to run the game, to finish off the game, to hold on to what you have, because it was very clear that this was the kind of game that Watford weren't going to try to risk losing their shape over. They weren't going to try to get a second here. This is the kind of game that you wanted Southampton to come on to you, and you wanted to defend it out. And when Watford defended out to the half, I thought that was exactly what they were going to do in the second. And it nearly worked, except for the subs. The substitution pattern hurt Watford. You've got to read the rhythm of the game better. And that moment, yes, some of the players were tired. Yes, perhaps Watford could have needed to get an insurance, but they went for it. Watford, they just didn't finish. And finishing has been a problem at Watford this season. Getting that final pass has been a problem this season for Watford. Big problem. And it could yet well cost them a playoff berth, because these teams up and around them, they've got players finishing shots off and finishing off the goals. Right now, we don't have that. And Emmanuel Dennis, when he's ready and healthy, and rather ready and fit, I think you'll see a big difference from him. And you'll see that clinical finishing quality that we have lacked all season. But the bottom line for this game for me in the FA Cup is Val missed a trick here. I think he was a little bit too good for his own good, and ultimately took a real chance. And you applaud Val for taking the chances. That's why, it's one of the reasons I really like him. He takes the chance with the triple substitution. He takes the chance putting on a player who hasn't seen the light of day for a long time. He takes the chance to try to shake things up and make things happen. And so you want a coach like that. You don't want a predictable coach, but you want a coach like Val who gives you something different, even though we know what his formation is going to be and who his starts. He does when it comes to changing the formation, changing the tenor of the game. He usually gets it right. There have been maybe three times this season where I don't think he has. Three times in what? 27 championship games now and what? Two cup contests. That's pretty darn good. But I think that if Watford were up 2-0 or 3-0, you take a chance with Dennis, knowing that he's not that fit. And you told us that Dennis was needed to be given some time and fans have to be patient. Well, obviously, I don't think Val took his own advice, did he, and at that point? But that game is done now. They'll have to play the replay next Tuesday, and Watford will be looking to go one better against the Saints side, who I think is going to play a lot better than they did. We made them look really poor throughout this match, except for those last 20 minutes. And I think that was really where Watford lost this tie. And now, listen, I hope that Watford win the game next week. But this was the opportunity to do it. When you have a home match in the FA Cup, you have to win that home match. And Watford were just 7 minutes or so away from doing that, 6.5, 7 minutes. And unfortunately for them, they couldn't get over the line. Are we talking next about Sheffield Wednesday versus Watford? Right after this. Welcome back to Yawns. I'm Omar Moore. Yes, a lot going on with Watford, the men's and women's teams in action. I'll get to Watford men's part two in just a few moments, but I want to talk about the Watford women for a moment, because While Watford men were dealing with Southampton in the FA Cup on Sunday, that very same day, the Watford women got their first win in a long time in the Barclays Championship. A 2-0 win away from home at Durham. That's a very impressive win for Watford. And when you consider that they have not won at home this season and they had not won anywhere in the Championship since September, this is all the more impressive. That last win that they had before the one against Durham was away to Charlton. And Watford, if memory serves me right, were actually down 2-0 in that game. Were they? Or maybe up 2-0 in that game against Charlton. And they held on to win 3-2, if memory serves me well. Watford have undergone a number of changes since then. And they had been playing better, but had been unfortunate with some of the results. They were up 3-0 against the London City Lionesses and did not win the game, if you can believe that. Yes, that is a true story. 3-0 up at the Vale last month against the London City Lionesses, and they just could not finish that game off in December. And they ended up getting a 3-3 draw. In fact, they were up 3-0 in the first 7 minutes of the game, which is just remarkable. So they didn't get the win there. Against teams like Arsenal in the cup competition, they were beaten soundly, even though they didn't play badly at all. And there was a game they played recently where they lost, I think it was by a score of 3-0, but also didn't play that terribly at times in the game. So the progression was pretty good for this Golden Girls team. They just, you know, did not get the result, put the results together, but they did in this game against Durham. And played very well. And I love the way that Agabiang and Johns, that's Michelle Agabiang and Carly Johns, I love the way they link up. They've got a great partnership going. And by the way, Michelle Agabiang was named the Player of the Month in the Barclays Women's Championships, in the Barclays Championship just this month. I believe it was the month of January, or was it the month of December where she got Player of the Month? She has been excellent for Watford. Let's have it absolutely right. She has been excellent. She's a loanee from Arsenal and a dual player, dual for Arsenal and Watford, which is something that's very common in the game now. But I'm telling you, she is very good. Her first touch is very good. She's got great skill. Her technical ability is very, very strong. And her precision of the pass is very good. If you see her with the ball, when she runs with the ball, she's got great footwork and ball control. And Agabiang is a footballer who can play really well with the ball in tight spaces. She's got very good quality on the ball. As I say, she has good ball control, so she can run with the ball, dribble with the ball, and hold on to it really well. And she's physical enough too, where she can also hold up the ball well. She does it all. She's a great player. I really have liked the look of her. She's really, really good. And I just love the precision of her footwork and her passing. And she can finish well as also. And I think that Carly Johns displays some of those very same attributes. I think one of the things about Carly Johns is that she's ruthless in front of goal. She will have a go at goal, and she is unafraid to do so. And I really wish the Watford men would be a bit more like Carly Johns in terms of being in front of goal and scoring. She's ruthless. Carly Johns will take that opportunity to get the goal. And I'm not just talking about a poacher's goal. I'm talking about any kind of goal that a striker scores. She will take that chance. And if the chance isn't on, she will find the open teammate. So I really like what Carly Johns brings. I think she gives you some speed. She gives you a bit of width. I think she can also give you some physicality as well. She's an effective striker. She can score from close range. She can score from a little bit further out the box. She's a good runner. She creates good space. And I love that partnership. I hope that Damon Lathrop continues to go there with the two of them together. They are a really good strike force, the two of them. I don't remember how many goals they've scored this season, but my goodness me, if they keep doing what they're doing, they will continue to score goals. I just love that partnership. And that really was what helped Watford win this game. It was a team effort against Durham. It was the kind of game that that Watford were due to win. You would have thought, and I did tell you several weeks ago on this podcast, fellow Watford supporter, that win was coming for Watford, that they were going to get themselves sooner or later, get themselves another win. And I said that maybe roughly a month ago now, if not more. And now what you have seen is exactly that. Watford have got themselves a win. And that win, a very important win for them to win away at Durham, gives them something to hold on to. Now, granted, they are still bottom of the table because Lewis also won. And with that win, they will stay above Watford, but only on goal difference now. I believe they won the game, Lewis. But the bottom line is that what you're looking at here now is Watford on the bottom of the table. They've played a game more than Lewis have. Lewis have played 13, Watford 14. Watford still on the bottom on 9 points, though, with that win. And on goal difference, they are -3 goal difference, -3 goal difference behind Lewis. And so that's what separates them from that safety place. But I think Watford can put together a run now. You know, they are playing the right kind of football. And to beat sixth place Durham like they did by a score of 2-0, I think is very impressive. I think that game has marked Watford now. They can hold on to that game and platform off of it. And if they can platform off of that and play in their next game that they play and play to particularly good effect, no reason why they can't get the job done. You know, they've got a game against Birmingham City at home next. That is an opportunity for Watford. Birmingham are in fourth place on 26 points. But there's no reason why Watford can't give them a game the way they did Durham. I think that's a very important result. It will give the Golden Girls lots of confidence going into the game at the Vale on Sunday against Birmingham City. And I really think Watford can give them a go. And I think it's important for Watford to win this game because they'll have 2 weeks off, 2 weeks break, and then they will take on Sheffield United away from home. And look, the bottom line now is that they need points, Watford, to get off the bottom of that table. And it doesn't matter that Birmingham are in fourth place. I think if the Golden Girls go into that game this Sunday thinking, well, Birmingham are in fourth, they're going to play them like they're in fourth. And that's how they'll approach the game. And believe me, they will show Birmingham too much respect. So you can't look at the league table. It's kind of interesting because the Watford team at this moment, they can't really look at the table. They know where they are on the table, but they can't really look at the table particularly as it relates to the teams they're playing. Because if they say, oh my God, we're playing fourth place Birmingham on Sunday, that will not be helpful to them. What they have to do is they just have to put their game plan out there and ignore the position that the team they're playing are in the table. You're not playing the table, you're playing the team. And you've got to make sure that you keep that in mind when you're taking on Birmingham City this coming weekend at the Vale. It will be a great opportunity for Watford, and it would be a really good time for Watford to get their first home win of the season in the Championship. It would do them the world of good. And if they get a win, they have a very good chance to get out of that bottom spot in the Championship in the Barclays. So best of luck to the Golden Girls. Really good quality stuff from them in beating Durham on Sunday, and onward and upward for the Golden Girls. Long may it continue. Again, best of luck, the Golden Girls, for this coming Sunday. And if you are in the Vale or at the Vale or anywhere near the Vale and you're a Watford supporter, please head to the Vale this weekend, this Sunday, February the 4th, to support the Golden Girls as they take on Birmingham City in the Championship. 2 p.m. kickoff in the UK at the Vale, the home of Wealdstone FC. Would be fantastic if you're a Watford supporter to go out there and support the Golden Girls and cheer them on. I love the team they've got. They've got a new goalkeeper as well. She kept a clean sheet. I thought she did a good job in goal. This is a good team, and they've got good chemistry, good clubhouse, it seems like to me. And I think that this team, and I said this before, even though the team is struggling, has struggled this season, I think the character of the group of players they've got in that locker room is going to serve them well in their fight against relegation. And I think they're going to make it. I think they're going to get out of this mess. And they've still got a number of games to play. But I really do think that this Watford side will get out of the trouble that has been plaguing them for much of this season. When I come back, Watford men's team part 2, the trip to Wednesday, on a Wednesday. That's next. You know, man. Welcome back to Yawns. I'm Omar Moore. Watford FC, the men's first team, part two now of what has been a very busy week for the Golden Boys, who, of course, on Sunday drew 1-1 with Southampton at the Vic in the FA Cup fourth round, and who on Wednesday, January 31st, drew 0-0 away from home in the Championship to bottom three club Sheffield Wednesday. And before you say, darn it, how could they have drawn against a bottom three side? Keep in mind that Sheffield Wednesday played quite well in this game. Sheffield Wednesday had a number of chances in this game. Sheffield Wednesday should have scored in this game at least twice. Once when Ben Hamer had to make a great save with his knees and then scramble to get the ball to stop it from all completely going across the line. That was a really good big moment in the game for him and for Watford. And then toward the end, Wednesday should have scored. Just before the extra time was announced, injury time was announced, Ben Hamer made an excellent save and made a great save in the first half from Barry Bannon, who shot the ball from all the 25 yards out. Ben Hamer was not especially busy in this game for Watford, but he made the big saves that counted. And time after time after time, Ben Hamer has saved Watford this season. He's probably played about 16 games for Watford, including the two games he played last season. One of those was against Coventry away from home, where he was actually the culprit in one of the goals. Watford had a 2-0 lead at the CBS Arena. You may remember that from last season, Easter Monday. And they could not get out of there with 3 points. It was a 2-2 final score. In fact, they had a lead at one point, didn't they not, in the game against Coventry this season, and could not get out of CBS Arena with anything more than a point either. So, you know, that's the way it goes with Watford and Coventry away from home. Ben Hamer, who, as I said, has played about 16 games for Watford in his entire career and has been such a big impact. He has really been a noticeable impact in Watford and in what they do. And I thought that Ben Hamer again earned his keeping goal on Wednesday night at Hillsborough in a very, very, you know, a difficult place to play. The pitch is not that great there. It's a very physical Wednesday, usually a very physical team. They will run you ragged. They've got some very good sure-footed players. But the thing is, in this game, neither team could find the back of the net because the players were not sure-footed in the moments that counted. For us, we did not execute the final pass very well. It's been a lingering, ongoing theme for us throughout the season. We just do not make the final decision very well and make a bad one at that. And our finishing skills are left a lot to be desired. It really did in this game. And you wonder, had Emmanuel Dennis been 100% fit, he would have started had he been 100% fit. And B, he would have put away the chance that Matthias Martins didn't. Had a golden opportunity in the first half. Bayer, who was excellent in this game, worked his socks off as he always does. May Space ran down the channel, put a really good ball into Martins across the box. Martins, the ball went slightly wide to the right of Martins, but Martins still had enough time to put the ball in the back of the net, even from a fairly acute angle, and he just scuffed the shot. The net was gaping, waiting for the ball to collect, to gobble. It could gobble up the ball, waiting for that ball to be gobbled up. But Martins just did not get it done. And, he had a shot off that went ricocheted off the post. Martins was in the thick of everything in the first half. I think Watford started with some really good energy in the game, good spirit. They're starting these games a lot better now. These last two are the Watford men's first team. They are absolutely wired into the game from the start now. These last two games have shown that. I think they managed these games better. They managed the game defensively very well on Wednesday night. I thought that Matty Pollock again was very good in defense. He and Wes Hoot beginning to get a really good partnership going in these last two games. Pollock, who's made it very clear that he wants to be at Watford, made a statement this week about that, is certainly playing his way into Val's rotation. And I expect to see him start this Saturday against Cardiff at the Vic. Watford, I thought, played fairly well in this game. They moved the ball fairly well. But when it came to the last pass, that final decision, that final ball just was not there, was not good enough. Too much hesitation from the likes of TDB and Asprilla and numerous other players. The only player who I don't think hesitated was Bayo. And Bayo had that pass I talked about earlier. But Bayo had some golden opportunities to score and he could not put them away either. Yes, we've said that a number of times this season, but Bayo had a terrific game. I thought he was holding up the ball very well in the game on Wednesday night. I thought he was very effective. I thought that he linked up play very well. There were some good moments where he linked up play from the back to front. I thought his defending was disciplined. I thought he also was a good presser of the ball. Second half, I think Watford executed their press really, really well against Wednesday. And it really led to some turnovers by Wednesday in their own half. Watford, though, once they got the ball turned over and ended up attacking Wednesday's goal, they just couldn't find that final pass. That's what undid Watford in this game. And they were fortunate to hold on to the point, because if it wasn't for Ben Hamer, we would have lost this game. And in seasons past, we have lost this kind of a game. But I think heroes abound for Watford despite the 0-0 draw. Ben Hamer, I would say Bio. I also think that the likes of Georgie, I thought, was particularly effective at times in the game. His set pieces were a lot better in this contest. His free kicks were very good, put into the danger area. I also thought, again, Bio was terrific. And again, I liked Pollock, as I said, and Hamer. They all did well. Jamal Lewis, still not up to snuff for me, although, again, it's just a second game back. But he has a bit more to do and a bit of a way to go, I think, to get to playing a lot better. I know a lot of some Watford fans do not like Jamal Lewis very much. But I think Jamal Lewis has been pretty good. He's had some poor games, don't get me wrong. But there have been games where he has been effective. And I thought overall the press as a team, the press for Watford was very, very good. It was used sparingly, but it was used when it was necessary. It was ratcheted up in the second half of the game, forced Wednesday into a number of mistakes, good swarming of the ball. I think they helped each other, Watford, tonight. Defensively, the men's team, they defensively helped each other really well. They swarmed and collapsed around Wednesday attackers, where they didn't stay tight to people like Barry Bannon in the first half, who was able to spray the ball all over the pitch with nary a touch from a Watford player, nary a pressure. But that changed in the second half, and you can see the tactics switch. And Bannon was limited to a degree in that second half, and then we were glad to see the back of him when he was subbed off, which I was surprised at, because he was the most effective player for Wednesday. Wednesday did have chances, as I said. They should have scored on a couple of occasions. Watford should have scored as well. And 0-0 reflects the fact that neither team did. Simple as that, obviously. And the quality of the game was not great overall. But there were very enterprising moments in the game, and the game was not boring. There were some very interesting moments. By the way, the referee, Rebecca Welch, is the first female referee that Watford have ever had during one of their football matches. And I thought she did well. Now, there's lots of Sheffield Wednesday fans who disagree with me, very vehemently disagree with me, and let me know about it in no uncertain terms. But I think that Rebecca Welch, I think she's a very good referee. I think she's refereed. This is the first time I've actually seen a referee. And I think she did a good job. Not an excellent job. It doesn't require that. It requires you do a good job as a ref and move from there. And the less that we have to say anything about how bad the ref was, the better. Now, Sheffield Wednesday fans have been, even now, are talking about how this referee was not good. I really think that's an overreaction. I also think it's got something to do with the misogyny or the sexism of perhaps some of these fans. I'm not saying every single fan, but don't tell me that that's not factoring into some of the vehement responses. I mean, really, why so vehement about the referee? She didn't cost you the game. It was a 0-0 game. And that was that. She didn't award a penalty against you. Maybe some of you are concerned, Wednesday fans, that she should have awarded you a penalty. But the bottom line is that this referee did a good job. And there's too many male referees who don't. But they don't get, some of them at least, don't get the vehement responses that this particular referee did. And some of that is definitely due, in my view, to sexism. I do think that that is... some of that is the sexism operating in the minds and the hearts of some of these fans. Now, look, you don't know what's in someone's heart, but you can certainly tell that there's a, when you have that kind of vitriolic response to a referee who really very, very rarely put a foot wrong, you just have to kind of give yourself pause. It gives you pause to see where that kind of venom and anger is coming from. And you know, Wednesday are in the bottom three, so maybe that factors into some of this as well. But it's a separate issue. That's separate and aside from this referee stinks. And, you know, really? I don't think so. I beg to differ. But the bottom line is that Sheffield Wednesday will be happier with the point, perhaps, than Watford will. But I think as a Watford supporter, you've got to actually be happy with this point, because Watford battled very well. They kept a clean sheet, which is the biggest reason why I'm very pleased. And not only did they keep a clean sheet, their defensive shape was good all game long. They managed to keep Wednesday really from doing too much damage. They did some good blocks. The wall was good. They defended against a set piece very well in this game. Listen, I think that the performance against Wednesday, while it was not good going forward, was very good defensively. I thought they were very stout. I thought we were very stout in our shape, very stout in our defending as a team. I thought we really helped each other tonight defensively. I really love that. And I also thought that Watford were more organized defensively than they had been in recent weeks. And I think part of that is Matty Pollock joining alongside Wesley Hood, whose diagonals I thought were really good in this game. But unfortunately, Watford could not take advantage of some of the opportunities, a lot of the opportunities they had. Ken Semmer came on later on. Radjovic came on later on, was rather ineffective, Radjovic. Ken Semmer had one opportunity, crossed the ball over into the box, but I think it got intercepted just before it could reach a Watford player. But I do think while Kone was quiet, I thought he was quietly effective. TDB I've already talked about. And also I wanted to once again single out Ben Hamer. I really thought that at the end of this game he earned his keep. And that's why he is currently the number one goalkeeper at Watford, because he continues to save Watford in big moments and make some big plays when they needed to be made. And that's the kind of goalkeeper you want in your football club. And again, I will lobby hard for Ben Hamer here. I know there's still 17 games left, but for me right now, Ben Hamer is the Graham Taylor Watford FC player of the season. I just don't think there's anyone else who's been as consistent as he and has had the impact that he has had. Plus his story, considering that he, again, started the season in the doghouse, really, with Val because of the discipline issue that he had. I think he's really, again, knuckled down and decided to be the professional that he can be. And obviously he has shown that with the way that he's conducted himself in goal. And so he's become a real leader on this club now. And I think that Watford have got a real, really, really good player here, a good goalkeeper here. Now they just have to continue to play the way they have. Is now, I think it's 7 or 8 unbeaten away from home. They have stretched that now. They got the clean sheet, which is going to give them renewed confidence defensively. But what they are lacking is that final pass, that decision making. When you're 3-on-2 and you're heading into the opposition box, pick a pass out and don't hesitate. Just put that ball in the path of the runner and do it as soon as you see the runner. Make sure you check his run. He's got to check his run to make sure he's onside. That ball has got to be played in front of him. You cannot wait, because when you hesitate and wait, that ball's going to be intercepted and it's just not going to be what the chance could have been. So I think that Val has to continue to drill into this side the importance of playing the ball quickly, the importance of passing the ball early. Release that ball early. If that runner's there, release that ball and so that runner can run onto it. Don't wait for the runner to run. You've got to release the ball and he can run onto it. And obviously you release the ball before he runs offside. You want to time that, but you want to put that ball in front of him so he can break stride and run for it. Create some space, create some movement, and then you've got some options. Get that ball in the box first time, and you never know. The defense could be off its heels. Defenders are vulnerable when they're running toward their own goal. And if you can release that ball quickly, early, first opportunity, you create a chance that the defender might scuff the ball and put it in back of his own net. We nearly had that happen in this game, by the way. And it also almost happened against Southampton as well. So Watford have to put that ball in the first time and drill that ball in the box or release that player. Put that ball out there, but don't hesitate, because if you hesitate, the play is gone and the chance is gone. So the bottom line in this game was that Watford, who made 3 changes in this game, Hamer was one of the 3 changes. Livermore was one of the 3 changes. I think there's one other, which at the minute I can't remember off the top of my head. But I do remember that Watford, I thought, all things considered, played well. All things considered, got a good point in a very difficult place to play. And all things considered, I thought, defended very well indeed in the game. They just have to tidy up what they do going forward in these games, because that is going to be the difference for me, ultimately, between them making the playoffs and not. And I really think that once they iron out this decision-making and this final ball, that will be a very, very good thing for them, because they will start humming on all cylinders. And that's the one thing that holds Watford back now, is the final stride, the final decision going forward, that final pass, that final bit of finishing, that quality. And that's why Emmanuel Dennis is back with the club. He wants to be that person to finish those kinds of chances off. And he is clinical, and he is lethal, and he is someone who's a really good technical player, and he can finish. He's a proven finisher. And so it will be certainly good once he is up to speed and healthy and fit. And I think that will take another 2 or 3 weeks, maybe more, but probably another 3 weeks to see the real Emmanuel Dennis back where he is on song and where he belongs. But I just think that once Watford find out a way to unlock that finishing, they will be a lot, lot better than they are. At the minute, they are in ninth place. They finished January undefeated, which is very good, in the 5 or 6 games they played. They finished January in ninth place on 41 points from 29 games. That's good. They are 3 points off the last playoff spot. Coventry City occupy that in sixth place with 44 points. And Watford have lost just 8 times this season in the Championship. I think that's also very good. And you're past the halfway point of the season, well past it. So I think that Watford now have a golden opportunity here. They've got Cardiff this weekend, this Saturday at the Vic. They'll be looking to try to put right that winless spell at the Vic in the Championship. They've now gone 4 games in the Championship at the Vic without a win, and they'll want to put that right this coming Saturday and try to get their first win in quite a while at home at the Vic in the Championship. Of course, they won against Chesterfield earlier this month in the FA Cup. But of course, that was the FA Cup. They want to get a win now this coming Saturday against Cardiff City in the Championship. Daniel Batman, I think, by the way, is going to benefit from being on the bench. This will be something, by the way, I'm going to say a quick word about him. Daniel Batman is going to be stronger for where he is now. Now, of course, he hasn't had the playing time he would like, and the big turning point was the sending off that he had against Leicester, and the red card and all the rest of it. And during that time, the stripping of the captaincy and all the rest. I think that Daniel Batman is going to be stronger because of all of this. He will learn, he will mature, he will grow. And I think that he will come on like gangbusters in these games in the cup. And, you know, if all goes right for him, I think he still has a lot to do at Watford. But his career is not over by any stretch. And I'm saying all this because Daniel Batman had a good second half, as I said earlier, against Southampton the other day. But I think that this demotion and this stripping of the captaincy and this demotion to the number 2 goalkeeper is going to make Daniel Batman a better goalkeeper, by the way. I really do think that. Some people might laugh at that, but so what? I do believe that Daniel Batman is going to come out all the better for going through this experience. Obviously, he'd rather start these games in the Championship. Obviously, he'd rather still have his captaincy, and obviously, he'd rather be playing a regular part in these Championship games and playing any and all of them instead of coming in the cup games. But the bottom line for me is that this whole experience will be a learning experience for Daniel Batman, and he'll come out on the other side a whole lot better for it. Well, deadline day is coming very, very soon. By the time you listen to this, deadline day might have come and gone. Open and shut. The transfer window for January is about to shut. Yes, it is. Watford only have so far, at least as the time I'm recording this, Emmanuel Dennis. Do we need more? Do we not? Let me know. Please do. If you listen to this on Spotify, you can take part in the poll, and I'll be asking that question. That is it for now for this brand new edition of You Owns, the Watford FC podcast. I'm Omar Moore. Don't forget to follow along on Twitter, or X as it's called now, at You Owns WFC. That's YOURNSWFC. Also follow me on Twitter, You Owns WFC on Twitter. Excuse me, I said that already. Twitter and Instagram. You Owns WFC on Instagram. Plus, don't forget to subscribe to the You Owns WFC YouTube channel. That is YouTube patreon.com/@ YOURNSWFC. And this podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and numerous other podcasting platforms. Please subscribe and spread the word about the Yawns WFC podcast with yours truly, Omar Moore. Fellow Watford supporters, thank you very much indeed for listening to this brand new episode. Don't forget, after each game, catch me and the post-match, the Yawns post-match, on X right after every Watford match. And then half an hour after that is over, half an hour after the match is over, I should say, get on Instagram at YawnsWFC for Yawns Extra on Instagram Live. That's half an hour after the end of the game. And right after the end of the game, it is Yawns post-match on Twitter. Join me there, won't you? That's it for now. And until Saturday against Cardiff, Omar Moore saying, yeah.